If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Well, Shane, I'm here on the ground and I have been talking to a lot of the locals. They seem to think that there was a chair there. Mm. And some people are saying it did squeak, but they're not sure whether there was a fart at the same time as the chair. So,
and Killian, you spoke to one man. Let's hear from him. Well, I'm living in this area. Sorry, Tony, I totally just...
That's all right, this isn't funny.
I thought
it,
I was lining you up for a joke, but I lined myself up.
Tony, you lined yourself up.
I'm sorry. I have something prepared. You do your thing.
Okay, I'll do mine.
Yeah.
And Killian, you have someone on the ground there. Well, yeah, this is a very quiet area. This kind of thing, fart never happens around here. So the whole community is shocked.
And we have a royal expert. Well, we got to think about where the fart is coming from, right? They're obviously not coming from the Queen herself. She's dead. So they must be coming from somewhere beyond the grave.
Is it true that the body can release gases post-mortem?
And their ears grow really long.
They're attractive.
I'm very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh, my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the moon!
Is that Ireland's call?
Offside.
His foot's in touch.
Those are the things you hear at rugby matches. And Re-Raw have a little rugby match thing that you can play in pubs that sell Re-Raw. It's a thing called Flickery Kickery. You flick a little rugby ball over little goalposts and you can win pints galore.
It's pints for Ireland.
If you play this game, you can do Re-Raw and kick the ball with your finger and you'll win games and win free drinks. It's really
flick
nice.
Flick it and kick it. And it's all part of the Six Nations, celebrating Six Nations, which apparently everyone likes.
It's Flicks not Nations. The Six Nations, it's Sorry. The Flicks Nations.
I spoke over you.
That's okay.
That's fine. Look, they like rugby and they like comedy and they like us. That's at Re-Rob. Shut the fuck up for 1 second.
Sorry,
I shouldn't say the fuck. At Re-Rob here. At Re-Rob here on Instagram. That's the ad, though. That is the ad.
That's it.
Okay. No, and of course, no. We joke about farts at the top of the podcast. But of course, our thoughts are, of course, with all the British subjects of the king who has giant fingers.
Yes.
And we are constantly in our thoughts. Tell you what, something. I tweeted the other day.
Yeah.
And I said, I saw a video of the prince. And I said, what you call it?
William.
Oh, yeah, Prince William.
Mm-hmm.
The Prince of Wales.
Yes.
The boy who would be king.
The boy who would be king.
Sorry, before you say that, just
please,
on Prince
you.
Of Wales.
No, thank you.
I remember when Lady Di died and my mum was like shocked watching the TV. And I didn't have any context for this. And I was like, what's up? And she goes, the Princess of Wales is dead. And I also had never heard of Wales before. And I remember saying like,
oh my God.
Are like the orcas okay?
Princess of the Wales.
The prince, like, are there other, what other marine animals did she control?
Alert, the king of the pelicans.
When Princess Diana died, that really was a time for mams. That really was their time. My mother, you know how it was serious. She moved the ironing board into the sitting room to watch the TV footage. So that was serious.
Okay.
Yeah, that was amazing. She does that also for major sporting events. But sporting events more like, not like football because she'd be focused on watching that, but like something like the athletics. Maybe Sonia Sullivan goes long distance.
It's her version of flying the flag at half mast.
In a way,
putting the iron in the sitting room.
In a way, in a way that is, bringing the iron sitting room. Also, can I say,
brought to the sitting room.
Mothers for generations have been plagued by having to do all this ironing. Then they plague their families about how much ironing they do. I have a suggestion. Leave it.
Don't iron.
Leave it. No. Killian, I looked at your t-shirt today. It's not ironed. Do you know what I do?
It's hard to tell though, because it's
bet onto those non-wrinkle t-shirts.
Sure. I'm on the road. I'm with you guys now. And I tell you what, I pack a steamer. Love it.
Do you?
That's yeah.
Do any steamers actually work though?
I think if you get a really expensive one, it's like an iron. But the one I have, it's not like an iron, but it'll, you think, I'll throw this t-shirt on like someone like Killian.
Yes.
And then actually, if Killian had actually steamed that, he'd look so much nicer.
Yeah.
He is lovely in this little dark yellow though, isn't he?
He does look really cute.
Look at his little face.
That t-shirt's bet onto him.
Steamers don't work. There's like an old man breathing onto your t-shirt. It doesn't.
It does work. So
it's like a child's
I just
whisper.
Said it worked. Do you have a steamer?
I had a steamer. It didn't work.
Okay. Well, then you had a bad
I
steamer.
I had a steamer. It didn't work. So that's, if we're looking at the evidence of who's full of shit.
Can I talk about the royal woman?
Yes, Prince Philip or something.
So I said, every now and then I remember these leech pricks exist and I get baffled all over again because he was walking around in an outfit and then he stood in front of a golden chair and then all these people are working there. It's ridiculous. I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Also, they think they're there because of divine magic from Lord.
Yes, they
chose
do.
Their family. So I'm like, they're disgusting.
When they're actually there because of the interdimensional bloodlines that they've interbred with from the origin of species.
Like the Kaisers.
Lizards.
From the lizard. When the lizard people met the first people, they went into a cave and they came out and there was a new bloodline, and that bloodline, you can look up David Icke and you can find out all about it or listen to my podcast.
I don't like that podcast. It's too controversial. And then somebody replied to me and was like, how are they leeches if you're Irish?
Like, what?
Exactly. What
does that mean?
What are you talking about? Yeah. And then talked about how, you know, the British people want to keep them, and actually they're the money that's created from tourism outweighs how much they're given.
That's bullshit.
Yeah,
that's
okay, whatever.
Then make
you know
the M&M.
Do they'd make if Buckingham Palace was a museum rather than having a load of old people living in it? Imagine you could pay
I'll tell
to
you
go
what
into
I'd
Buckingham Palace.
I'd Airbnb the whole place. Airbnb have savage parties.
If tourism is the thing, then they need to make the M&Ms the king.
Anyway, I later noticed that I said...
The M&M store's huge.
She said, why would you care? And it was like, why do I care about anything? Like, I care about loads of things. And then somebody pointed out that she had royal stuff was written in her bio. And I was like, oh, okay, she loves the royals. But it was like, why do you care?
Yeah.
Why do you care about them? What a weird thing to care about.
My family...
Anyway, I probably will delete that tweet now before I put this up, so...
My family, we kind of believe that we're where we are because of divine intervention.
Your mom thinks that?
We do, yeah.
Is she a Calvinist?
No, she's just like, I think we think like we are, like my dad's a teacher and mom's a tour guide and... We live in Dublin and we kind of think it's divine intervention. By right, we are here.
Because it's just divinely right. You chose to live there and
divinely it's God fell decided for each other. For us and, to be,
yeah,
you know,
fuck, few, yeah.
Like, really, like within 7 minutes' walk of the DART station. That's divine. That's divine. And people, you know, people might have controversial opinions about it. And I know there's different people, but I think it's divine right that we...
My national pride as a kid was so strong that I remember thinking when I kind of realized I've been born in the greatest country in the world.
I know.
And I was like very young thinking like, what a beautiful act of chance that here I am, gifted. And it was before we talked about privilege. Was it, check your privilege, Tony, actually, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I forgot. No, you don't.
You've got a bit. Yeah, you've
got a bit of privilege. Just,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. And woke.
There you go.
You got woke. But I was like, oh my God, by divine intervention, perhaps, I have been born in that. And I'm from the capital city.
I mean, I thought exactly
so
this.
Important.
I thought exactly this.
I'm from the capital city.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are exactly what cultures fear.
It's true.
We believe
you're so arrogant.
Divinely right. You know, there's a zoo here. There's a McDonald's in Artane Castle. Everything's fucking working out, you know?
Ireland by luck, Dublin by the grace of God.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I was in Puerto Rico recently.
Ugh.
This is not, there's nothing divine about being born on this cold, wet rock. Mm. Every day is the best possible day in Ireland, weather-wise. It's incredible, except obviously the hurricane season, which destroys most
in
of the
Puerto Rico
economy. But Puerto Rico, it's unbelievable. Mm. You know, like I was like, this is
Jennifer Lopez.
Better. It's a better place.
Yeah.
It's an arguably unbiased, nicer place to be.
But the chat, Killian. What's the fucking chat like?
Yeah, because you sit down, Puerto Rico, sink a few pints of porter, and set the world to rights.
Puerto Rico.
That's what I love to live in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, more like. Jennifer Lopez, more like fucking Ronnie Drew. That's who I'd like to fuck.
But there is always this thing.
I'd
write 10 Ronnie Drews before I toss Jennifer Lopez.
They talk about that, though, the Irish like art and stuff. And everyone's like, why is Ireland so hot right now? And we're great storytellers. Mm. And why are we great storytellers? And it's always because of the misery. I remember like it was really windy and rainy one day. I was with my friend's mum and I was like, God, like this, just the weather. So fucking shite. And she was like, but that's why we have those writers.
Mm.
That's why you have those writers. And I was like, all right, we'll prefer if we didn't have the writers and had good weather.
If we could surf, there'd be no Joyce.
Like,
that's
I'm
been
not,
proven.
Yeah, but I'm not.
They surf now.
Joyce. I don't care.
Yeah, but okay, if we could beach volleyball. If we could play, if we all played beach volleyball,
it would
be
make no difference
Yates.
To my life.
Yates would have been too distracted.
Yates was from Lithuania.
Yeah,
if Yates, If Yeats was from France, it wouldn't change my life one iota. It doesn't give me anything.
Yeah, but he wouldn't write. You're not going to write about the Lake Isle of Innisfree if you're living in Paris.
Yeah, Le Lac de Innisfree.
Do you not feel like I feel drawn? You know, I've talked about my shed multiple times, probably to use, you know, like I feel drawn to be in a snug, you know, in the company of people, sinking pints or smoking spliffs or something. You know, I feel and chat. I love it. Like that's my preferred thing. I kind of faked my way through my teen years pretending that I wanted to dance. I like dancing now, but I would have much preferred just sitting in a snug, just burning the air off each other, you know?
Sitting down, like that is...
let me take it even down. No, that sounds just... too advanced. Sitting down, why talk?
I'm very taken at the moment with the, you know, this... it's probably not... It's more people talking about it than it actually existing, but this thing of like the Gen Zs versus the millennials. And I'm like... First of all, it doesn't matter, right? That's very inconsequential. And also, every generation has done this to every other one. It's been, that's the way things go. And the Gen Zs, they make fun. It was like, you think we all want to be you? Like, we don't want anything to do with what you're doing. Sitting down, talking, so much better. I went out of this very studio.
Well, what do they podcast be doing?
They want to be doing. They want to be standing up or screaming or going to a cool thing or... queuing for a kilo sale and, you know, doing ketamine, walking around.
They're just standing up screaming.
No, they're content
talking.
Content to stand and they have clothes from our youth and they think that's cool. And I'm like,
It's not like this new trend.
I stood
this TikTok challenge.
That's exactly when I was a young man.
That's exactly what I mean. It's the same thing that has happened every time and whatever. And when you'd make fun of your parents when you were a kid and they would say, like, you can't do an accurate impression of the younger generation. Everyone, remember your parents would try and do an impression of you of you as a teenager. They'd be like, oh, here they come. Oh, whoa, whoa. And they'd do this stupid voice that didn't sound anything like you. And they'd be like, I'm trying, even the word cool, which came from like whatever, the 50s. Even when they said it, they were like, you say it wrong. You're like, it's not cool. Or they say deadly instead of deadly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, that's deadly. And you're like, not deadly, it's deadly. Deadly. Whatever. And you'd give out, my parents would also call them the verve instead of the verve.
The verve.
Who are you listening to in? The verve.
Or Ousis.
Oh, what's up? Oh, the Oasis and the Blurs and Bart Simpson, the whole lot. But I just think, anyway, I was thinking a lot about that and I was like,
there's Bart
Simpson. I would so, like, going out is so good, right? Going out, socializing, but like, I did a podcast here one time and Peter McGann was on it, fan of the pod. Hi, Peter.
He's absolutely begging.
Let him say hi back. Hi, Peter.
Begging to be on it.
He will. He'll be our first guest.
And we went for the few pints after and Peter said in the middle of it, just in the mid-sentence, he was like, God, this is so great. Just chatting absolute shite. Like, he was just so excited about us. We were talking like topic from topic. Like, you know, you're wildly like, you know, here's what this comedian, he should be doing this. Yeah, and like, do you ever notice when you're having sex? And then you're just like rapidly going from topic to topic.
That's literally this podcast.
That is this podcast. And I don't want...
Talking of stand-up.
Don't let it become self-aware.
Down, we were watching the telly last night. We were watching... a TV show and Fiona Shaw, the wonderful, iconic Fiona Shaw was in it.
Oh, yeah.
And she was standing up. And then I was like, Fiona Shaw, she's always standing up when she's acting. And then I didn't say anything because I was like, what? And she's like, but I suppose a lot of actors stand up when they act. I was like, yeah.
The more we hear about lovely Anna.
Yeah, we need to hear some in context smart things that Anna says.
She's so smart. Oh my God.
I think she might, like,
I know she is.
I think she might be like, you know, you make her sound on this podcast like she's like, you know, those people who are severely low IQ that it's like a health problem. I think she might be.
You know her. She's a bright spark. I'm the idiot. But she just has some Anna-isms that are very funny. Yeah.
What was the word she mixed up recently?
God, I don't know. It was. There's a lot of tech. Them. I'm actually doing that a lot more. Did I tell you about the time when I said I wanted to say my dad was like really steady for me and I kept saying, oh, you know my dad, he's rock hard.
Oh, yeah.
rock hard for me.
But then I said that before the gig. I was like, she's like, are you okay for your gig later? And I was like, ah, you know me, I'm hard. And I just keep saying this kind of, for some reason, I'm getting things mixed up.
That is the part of the 30s. That is it. You don't think, it's actually not documented enough that like, it does happen quick. The mad old people stuff just starts occurring in your life quick. I'm doing the crosswords. I'm trying to keep an eye. I'm getting ahead of this.
You're
getting ahead of the game.
You're loving this board core. I'm getting ahead of the game. At the moment.
Bored core?
Yeah, boring core. Doing, like, you're yeah, loving you got, like, you, doing
you,
your
last
odd jobs.
Weekend, you got the new laundry basket and you were just like yes. delighted with yourself.
But also, that's because I have to offset my incredible rock and roll lifestyle.
That's true. Mm. Yeah.
Bitch, I'm gigging to sold out shows in various places around the country. Yeah. You know, I have to be, you have to balance that out. It can't all be that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or I'll burn out.
Well,
and burnout. Burnout is a big symptom of, you know, I had burnout, did you? What were you doing? Working? All right.
There is burnout.
Yeah, there's burnout.
Like, there is burnout.
But then everybody, like, there's burnout, but then there's pretending that you are running a Forbes 500 company and you're the only person. It's like, you can just stop working. Stop working.
I know, but, like, you know the way, like, I sometimes...
At the end of your working hours.
You know, like, the way I've got a good work
life. Don't just quit
life.
Your job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone has... No, you have to work.
You know the way I've got a good work-life balance, but, like, you even said to me, like, oh, you were texting me quite late, you know, like, about work things. And I was just telling you that I just text that so that I have it out of my outbox and it can be responded to tomorrow. But, like, and I think that's fine, but, like, what if you do have a boss? What if you fucking, and it's for a lot of people, despise your job and you're just getting the odd and, like, you're just trying to sit down and you're getting that kind of, you know, when you have to go to work and you hate it and you can feel it in your heart. It's like ice, like an icicle, you know, and imagine getting those texts through the night. And then you look at, oh God, then you,
like,
look up
standing outside the cafe that I was working in, just standing outside waiting for the clock to tick like 9, just so as I could spend those extra few seconds outside just going, oh fuck, I really don't want to go in here. Or I used to teach a class in the evening and I fucking,
very punctual.
I hated it so much, and I would just stand outside just like rubbing my face, just going like, oh my God, oh my God, and then just walk in and go, hey guys, so today we're going to talk about the second conditional, you fools. But yeah, hating your job is we're very lucky to like what we
we're
do.
Very lucky.
Yeah, I've had two jobs. If you have a micromanaging, any kind of, you know what is really good in a work context? That I think I talked about this before, but silence is so good that if you just, when someone's micromanaging you, that I find that is red rag to a bull to me. That is red rag to a bull. I can't bear that stuff where you have to go, and instead of going, okay, thanks, cool, perfect, trying to find new ways to answer every little one of their little minor micro instructions.
Micromanaging.
That if you just sit quietly and they'll eventually tire themselves out and then you just carry on and do your job.
Oh,
that's you can train people like dogs.
Yeah, you can. I don't know.
Shane Danburn treats people like dogs.
No, I feel like
put that in evoke.ie. I want to get on evoke.ie. How do we get on
What's
that?
What's on that?
I don't know. Like celeb gossip. How can we get on that?
We need to have another fight. People were loving that.
Yeah.
They were loving it. Really, like, we weren't so much fighting.
I know. We talk like that to each other.
Yeah.
We disagree.
Yeah. It's okay to disagree.
No, one of us is wrong. And that's why you have a disagreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a truth in between you.
In between the crack.
You know, it's not the black and white we're looking for here. This podcast isn't about that. We're looking for nuance. We're looking for these glorious gray areas in between. Mm-hmm. That's what Young Podcast is all about. People say, oh, they chat shit. Oh, they talk about nothing. But really, we're exploring these unexplored gray areas.
Explore
these vast tundras that is really about who we are, who people are, why we're here.
Yeah.
Why we're here. And that's why I drink Huel. Every one of my meals.
Stephen Bartlett.
Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And we have been friends for a very long time.
And we regularly solve each other's problems. And now we'd like to solve yours in our podcast, Agony Rants.
It's a weekly show where we offer you unwavering support.
It's true. And it's the place to go if you need a place to vent or to get thoughtful advice.
It's a serious lawsuit waiting to happen.
Now, Gerard, there isn't a problem that can't be helped by having a comedian and a Eurovision winner dissected before your very ears. Agony Rants is 40 minutes with two friends who just want to listen to you.
Niamh wants to listen. I dip in and out.
Agony Rants has a new episode every Monday, and you'll find us wherever you do your listening.
Do you know what
I'm
doing?
That guy.
I've started putting raw egg in a smoothie in the morning.
Right? How's that going for you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
no,
it actually
fooling
makes it
around
nice and
before
creamy.
The big fight. No fooling around before the podcast.
There is
Terry.
No tomorrow, Rock. There is no tomorrow.
I'm loving it because I feel smug. I'm walking around like I'm gonna eat fucking raw eggs. Like I'm jacked.
But
I'm
is
not
raw
jacked.
Eggs is it not dangerous? Or?
It's dangerous, and it only has half the protein of a cooked egg. But it makes it creamy, and I just didn't have a lot of protein powder when I was doing it. But it makes me feel like I've got like raw spinach in there. It doesn't taste nice. My uncle calls it the gross smoothie. He says, are you making another gross smoothie? And I said, yes. And he's like, I don't want any of that then, you know?
That sounds like when you're a kid and you just put as much disgusting potions. Stuff in a potions.
We're playing potions.
Yeah, you're playing potions.
We're
going to
pour
all yourself.
This on John's willy. Did you do that?
No, that's okay. What did you do?
That's witches, actually. That's
sorry,
witches.
That's witches? That's something that's you game. Need to talk to someone about.
Do you okay. like
you know who I like is Liver King. You know Liver King?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Liver King?
No.
Liver King is this guy online. He's all about like getting back to primitive. He goes, what's up, primitives? That's what he looks insane. He's so full of
he's so
steroids.
Hard.
Like he's got, he looks like a kind of like a vacuum packed bag of sausages.
Yes,
and
he does.
He, and he
is
just,
he the man
he like
who
a
says
ball
he
with a,
yeah.
with a mesh?
Yeah.
Is he the guy who's like, oh, I only eat all this stuff, and
yeah.
then
he
they
only
were like
eats raw liver is what
but,
it yeah. says.
But then they were like, oh no, you take all drugs.
Yeah, he's basically he was most obviously. It's so funny because he kind of got cancelled because he. Was taking steroids. When you look at him, you're like, that man, I don't know anything about, but I was like, that man's on steroids.
Yes.
And then he got cancelled. And it was just so funny because it was, they found an email which had all the steroids he was taking. He was taking
a ridiculous
so many.
Amount of steroids.
And it was like, we have, you know that guy who takes all the steroids? Yeah, we have evidence that he's taking steroids.
Yeah,
it's just like, yeah, I know. Yeah. We just managed to locate Joe Biden's birth certificate. Turns out he's quite old.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
no, he's like jacked on steroids. Absolutely full of them.
But and so is Joe Biden.
And so is Joe Biden, yeah.
Well, he should be, actually. Kind. I'd like that. I'd prefer that, to be honest.
I'd say Joe Biden, like not anymore, but I'd say in his day, really good in bed, I'd say.
Oh, he's a
hunk. I think he was good at it.
Yeah, back in the late 1800s, he was known.
Yeah.
He was
yeah,
really, yeah. he was known.
I'd say he was a tender lover. I'd say he was attentive.
He had that famous affair with Marie Antoinette and
yes, of course.
I'd say
let's not forget Cleopatra.
Do you know what I'd say he would like as a lover? Every now and then he'd do a little surprise you. That you'd go like one of them. He'd do a little surprises.
Oh, yes.
We used
that
to
you
do this
be
in the Renaissance. That's
yeah,
not
I
him.
Reckon the orgasm.
We used to do this in the Renaissance. Is that him? No.
Da Vinci built me one of those spiral wheel whirly wool machines. Give me one of them whirly woos. I'm going to drop it on that asshole. And then
it's like a helicopter. But we haven't got those yet.
Giuseppe Di Medici was his name at that time. He changed it when he moved to America.
Oh, well.
Yeah, he's one of the Medicis.
I'd say he orgasms well. I'd say Trump orgasms like that turtle humps and humping a shoe. You know that?
No.
You know? Did you ever see a turtle trying to fuck a shoe?
Oh, yeah, I think so, and yeah.
And I'd say he has to
whimper.
I'd say Trump has to nuzzle. He has to have his head like in the your pit of your neck to come like and that's and he like leaves a little he leaves a little saliva saliva drop in there when
yes.
and you're just lying there like I regret this.
Yes.
I'd say he cries.
He's no Kennedy anyway. There's no happy birthday.
John
Mr.
Kennedy,
for him.
That man was having non-gender specific threesomes. I'm telling you, he was a goer.
He was
believe
also
so.
Incredibly
what
ill.
What a goer.
I listened to the history.
Poorly.
Program. He was so sick. He was a extremely sickly man.
Like, in what way?
Just like he
in
did,
the mind.
His body was in bits. He was being held up by. There was a reason when he got shot. He was being held up by like this bodice because his back was his spine was in.
Oh, a corset.
And he was wearing this corset. And that's why
really?
He didn't fall down when he got shot the first time. He didn't. He kind of stayed upright because he had this bodice kind of thing that was holding him up, like
wow.
a kind of thing. And he was in bits. He had loads of different things.
That's a big selling point for that bodice. Being like, you can even have your head blown off
and
your
back
won't go down.
I might get that
Bob's bodices. Bob's bodices. Blow your head off. You're still standing up like a live man. You're an alive man.
I might get one of those things, you know, for your posture, those things. Every now and then, I know everything on the internet's a lie, but every now and then I see the things and I'm like, ooh, I need to get that. You know the things that like, they're like a kind of a bra thing that
holds
your back.
It's a reverse bra and it holds your arms backwards.
Yes.
I am hunched a bit like an ape.
Yes.
I'd like to unhunch. And you know what the physio told me once? He was like, yeah, when we finish this, you'll come out looking about an inch, half an inch taller. I was like, what?
What?
I was like, Sean. And then I did. Zero times did the exercises that he prescribed to me. And did I go to my follow-up appointment? No, I did not.
No, because you hadn't done your homework.
I hadn't done my homework. I'm not going to show up and go.
Look, I'll give you money while you give out to me.
Yeah.
Paying you to give out to me. I ended up on penis enlargement Reddit during the week.
Your penis?
Not me.
You
I ended up.
You were browsing it.
No, I was browsing. Yeah, sorry. No.
That's a good segue.
Yeah.
No, I ended up on penis enlargement.
That's a professional radio segue there.
Because I was trying to find a video of Drake's penis. I did. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Good for him. Got a
Is it really Drake's penis?
It looks like him. He's having a little
little fap in the
a moment of self pleasure.
But
no,
I ended
shame
up on
that.
Penis Enlargement Reddit, and it's a fascinating place. I have to say, there's all these people, like there are all these people like, saying like these pumps work, and it's like here's my result. Before I was 6.5 inches, and I'm like, what? So why are you even starting this? You know, like before I was 6.5 inches, now look at me, I'm 8.5 inches, and all the pictures of all the Mickeys, all the procedures that you need to do, all the kind of like flexing that you have to do from your pelvis. But what I also found out was how to accurately measure the size of your penis, and I've been doing it all wrong.
Okay.
It's actually the way to do it is not from the side.
There are gays listening to this now who are like really into this.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've got a few messages, because we talk about dick sometimes, and a few times I've got a few messages that are a bit curious, I will say. They were a funny natured message.
Why curious men?
No, I think full gay men. Okay. They so they're listening.
By curious
gay men. Just for all those gays, I know you're there, right? I know, even if you're not the ones messaging me, I know you're there.
Stop using this as your own personal fucking thirst trap, okay?
Oh my God.
I don't engage in this kind of carry on, because
the way you're saying it is like, I don't engage.
No, what am I going
to
say?
Speaking directly to you.
Yeah, I'd say Tony's massive. What am I going to talk with my friends like that? Anyway, with the people I don't know. Anyway, go on. Sorry, Tony.
Tell me that, though. That'd be very comforting.
Tony, I'd say Tony's dick's massive. Would you, Killian?
It's there.
Hey, look, he's got a dick at the end of the day.
Anyway, so how to measure your penis accurately with Tony Cantwell.
With me. Okay, so you do not measure it from the side. Mm-hmm. You do not measure it from the end of the balls.
No.
You actually have to measure it by properly pushing the ruler in until you kind of hit the pelvic bone.
That's just as
hard as you go.
That just sounds like... Sorry, they're trying to make it as big as possible.
Yeah. I know, but this
you suck in.
You actually
then...
start measuring from the belly button. This is the Latin way of doing it.
As you get older, it's not like your penis is getting it like small. It's not like your penis is getting small as you get a bigger belly. But you're getting a fleshy little mound in your crotch area. They say push it right in there, like you did when you were a kid and with your ruler, and you were trying to make it as big as possible. Like you were a kid when you were committing seppuku to yourself.
Harry Kiri yourself with a ruler. Get that ruler right inside your body, right in with the kidneys.
Right in there.
Right in
with
there.
Your and you have to, you do that. So you have to do it like you would with a kid. And then I was like, that can't be real. So I went, like, this is the penis enlargement Reddit.
Yeah, picking, that's what I was thinking.
Picking the way.
Yeah.
Your site. This isn't JSON.
But then I looked up WikiHow, and I looked up, and that is the best kind of measurement, because that is kind of the one that would potentially be experience intercourse. Like, that is the actual length that could potentially
be. It's the recognized international kind of method. Like, you know, when you're writing a thesis, anyone who's done an undergrad, you have to use the Harvard system of references.
Book your Harvard comment.
The Harvard system of references. This is the kind of like the recognized international standard of penis.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You need to get a mitre ruler, you know those ones, and you need to get it right in there.
The wooden ones.
The wooden ones, right? You need to get an ashling ruler, right? Has to be made of ash, right? And you get it right up in there,
ash.
And then from the pelvic bone right up to, so whatever you see at the end of the Mickey. So I know I've gained some gentlemen a couple of centimetres, and if gentlemen have been measuring from the end of their testicles, I've just gained you like a half a foot.
You sound like the guy who's broken up the days. He's like, by 2 o'clock, I've had 2 days. By 8 o'clock, I've had 4 days. 1 week, I'm way ahead of you. 2 months, you're dust.
Yeah. You measure from the end of the balls, it's a small cock. You measure from the side, that's an average cock. You push it right into your pelvis, you've got a big cock.
This is absolutely...
You will never out-cock
me. We need to not be talking about this for a while.
Yeah,
we need to change to something a bit more. Can we talk about something like Valentine's Day?
Love is
Are you not excited, end? By the way?
About what?
Gaining a couple of centimeters.
Well, yeah. I mean, are you allowed to use metric or what is it? It's
you can use whatever you like.
Yeah.
It's like the way we use the metric system, but we weigh ourselves in pounds. Mm. I think willies are in inches as well. That's just the way it goes. Valentine's Day. No, can I just say before that?
Yes.
We'll talk about that, Killian, if you want to keep it topical or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
There's people, all sorts of people listen to this podcast because I've been meeting them on the road.
Mm.
And
oh, yeah.
I didn't all ages of people listen to this podcast. Mm. I thought, do you know who I thought listened to this podcast? Young people, like 20s, like mid 20s, that's the tops. People in their 50s and everything I met on the other day who listened to this podcast.
Nice.
And saying it right, saying like, I love young hot guys. And then, you know, they said, only because you mentioned it on the show, I bought the ticket. And I was like, oh my God.
So we have people who stand up and go, ah. We have people who sit down.
Mm-hmm. And you know who else came to the
show? We're not young, though. Like, we are actually not young. And I know we think that we're young. We've got a young audience, but we're not young.
You know?
Yeah,
And especially with some of the topics you bring up and some of the references you pull.
Dwayne Dugan opened for me the other day and he said, who's in the... he's like, okay, so who have we got? Who's under 25s? Stone silence. Wow. There was nobody... Well, they may have been secretly under 25, but no one said... I was like, what am I, some kind of old comedian for old people?
Are you old queen?
I still feel like I'm on the button. I'm pretty cool. Here's all the top things that young people talk about.
Yeah, and that's how they talk.
Yeah.
Yes. Standing up yes. and being left.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone fans of the Verve in here? Let's hear ya.
Fellow young people want to stand up with me.
Yeah, want to stand and shout. You know, you make me want to shout.
Throw my hands up?
Shout.
I don't know the rest.
We used to play that in Doyle's. Do they still go? Do young people still go to Doyle's? Used to go to Doyle's every week and tell you they play the same. It was like a playlist.
That was the go-to renting a spot. Like if you needed to like rent a, you know, the basement
for
or something.
A table quiz for our Habitat
Doyle's
for Humanity.
Doyle's is where in Town Centre.
It's on,
next
near,
to
on the
Trinity.
Corner near Dalier Street.
Town yeah. Centre?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Town Centre?
I don't
Town
know.
Centre.
That just came out of my mouth. Yeah.
Town Centre.
Sound like an English, someone learning English.
This is Dublin, man.
Could
this
you take me to Town Centre, please?
This is Dublin City. We have cathedrals, okay?
I'm the looking city. For the central hotel.
What is the centrum?
It
should have been.
Oh, do you want a little bit of cathedral drama?
Yeah.
Drama.
My mum said that St. Patrick's Cathedral and Christchurch Cathedral, the two cathedrals in Ireland, both
What
Ireland,
about the pro-cathedral?
Well, that's not a full cathedral,
right.
I don't think.
Right.
It's not a full-blown one.
They are in competition with each other, both the Church of Ireland, and they actually do their mass, their evening mass, at the exact same time, and they ring their bells at the exact same time. And they're stealing an audience. It's like if Shane was putting on a comedy show and then on like, you know, Thursday at 7 p.m. and I'd be like, I'm putting on a comedy show at Thursday at 7 p.m. and competing with each other.
Well, that would be very nice to the international.
So I would say I'm Team Patrick's. I'm Team Patrick's, even though just because my mum used to do some volunteering there and do tour guides, I'm Team Patrick's and they have the graveyard. Whereas Christchurch, you know, whatever.
I like Dublinia.
What's in there?
You're pronouncing it wrong.
What's
Dublinia
in there?
Is that a Viking stuff.
Viking museum. Stuff?
Yeah, Viking
D-V-B
stuff.
Linia.
Dublinia.
Dublinia.
As in Blackpool.
Well, there's just not a U.
Like
it
Blackpool.
Blackpool. That's Dublin's called Blackpool.
I know. And
it is kind of Blackpool.
I don't like to dwell on that.
No, it is called Blackpool.
This is a show, the sign of the times, right? When I was a child, right? There's 23 or something, 25 grandchildren in one mama's family, right? And when I was a child, my granny would tell us, when I win the lottery, we're all going to go over to Blackpool. We're going to Blackpool and we got big lollipops, right? This is what we were sold on because they'd bring big lollipops back when they went over to Blackpool. And then you could see that the economy changed and Ireland itself changed because the second half of the family, you know where they were going when she won the lotto?
Where?
Disneyland Paris.
What?
We were getting Blackpool because it was 1993.
They were getting crap.
And that's all Ireland had. They'd get the dream of Blackpool.
It was just the jumped up Bray.
Yeah, it was.
I jumped up Bray. Oh, but the sluts they have over there. that was sluts, I said there. Okay. This isn't that kind of podcast.
Shane, I hope you didn't. Did I mishear you there, Shane?
Anyway, years later, Harry Styles wrote a song about it, and it was called Sign of the Times. And that's what inspired that song.
Did she win the lotto?
She never won the lotto, no.
Oh, well. Well, you got to be in it to win it, so.
But she used to do the lotto in the bookies.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think, not great.
Why?
Because that's not actually, the lotto is actually supposed to be for investment in charitable causes and that's what it's actually for. And if you do it in the bookies, fair. I don't think you're actually paying into the lotto. I think your winnings come from the bookies or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember. There's a reason people don't like the bookies. Anyway, we can ask Kevin McGann because
we could do a Young Hot Guys bingo lotto thing because they do them. Do you ever try
a syndicate?
You know that? No.
You want to start a syndicate here in the office?
I mean, they send us in money and we do we get everyone, all the people who listen to the podcast send in like 20 quid a ticket and then, you know, we choose a winner every week.
You want to run a scam?
Well, no, it's not a scam. Like, we scoop a little. There'll be a little bit of scooping. But as I've said, like, we want to bring back a little bit of light corruption. It's a little bit of fun. And so if we get everyone sending in maybe 20 quid and then they send it and then we go, the winner gets, you know, let's say a thousand. If we get that many people in.
So we get 10,000 in.
Yeah, we get 50 quid. How many people do we need? 20 quid. 20 I'm changing quid. It now. Anyway, we scoop a little bit. We make
scoop 200, a little bit off the top.
200 scoop. And then that's weekly. Because you drive through these little towns. You know, in Ireland, it's really popular.
Oh, like the football teams.
The football team will do a lot of money. I always drive past them and I'm like, 5 grand. Like, how many people in this? It'd be like, you know, 50 quid a ticket, but you could win 5 grand.
When I'm in those places, like I was in Clare around New Year's, and I always feel that if I said to them, if you see it advertised in the pub or in the garage or whatever, I always feel, can I take two of those lotto tickets? They'd be like, no. Like, yeah, it's not for outsiders, because I feel like it wouldn't be pleasant if outsiders won.
Imagine the outsider won. I'd say you would get murdered. Imagine you were sitting at the bar, they announced the lotto, and you're just stopped in for one drink, and then you're moving on, and you've got the winning ticket.
Yeah.
And you're just holding it in your hand, and all the locals would turn to you. Just start brandishing their knives.
I used to thank God that I was born in Dublin. I used to thank God. Thanks for the cash. I was delighted I was born in the capital. All the best. See you later, buggers.
Congratulations, Shane. Run home, Killian. Just come with us and collect your winnings in this back room over here. Yeah, in the kitchen. Yeah.
Break your legs.
No, you have to collect it up in the farm at the top of the hill at nightfall. As the clock strikes midnight, that's where you get it. Up at the top of the hill. And you meet a few men there.
I met a fella called Rowan who won the credit union draw.
You're always talking about the credit union.
The credit union. I don't know.
Yeah, he won that and he never put a cent in it or taken a cent out of it. Yeah. He had it from when he was a baby. He was in the draw and it rolled over and he got something like $7,000 and he bought a moped.
What?
Because
just
he was
like
17.
Out of nowhere. Just like, hey, by the way, here's $7,000.
Yeah, what? They were like, you won the moped or you won the grand, the prize.
Did he drive the moped to Blackpool or when did he go to Blackpool?
You could probably go to Bray if you won the credit union, you could probably go to Bray. If you win the lotto, you can go to...
It gives you enough for the dark ticket
Blackpool,
to Bray.
But if you win the lotto, you know, post, you know, the raging Celtic Tiger, you can go to Disneyland Paris.
What are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? What are you doing with your special other person?
I don't really do it. We don't really do it. We don't even know when our anniversary is. I'm not a very romantic man.
Can I just say, Valentine's Day, people going, oh, it's a commercial thing. Oh, it's commercial. It's a fucking beautiful thing.
I think
people need
sweet.
To shut the hell up
and
about it.
I hate those guys that are like, I'm not going to have like people telling me when to buy something from your bird. I'm like, okay, so what day did you choose? Okay, what day did you choose then instead? What day did you put in the diary? I'm not going to need this all car, you know, fucking, you know, sheep mentality. Like, I treat me bird well. Like, I'm always getting that, like... paper and a pedal.
It is that though. It's always like, I don't want capitalism telling me when to get. I treat every day like that. I treat every day like that. Those people never get their partner a box of chocolates and some flowers.
No, they don't.
They never do that.
Chocolates though. Mm. Like no one wants chocolates. I don't know anyone who wants chocolates. Really?
Killian's parents gave us chocolate last week.
I mean, I liked the small bar of chocolate that they got us. But like,
why is small an adjective you use there?
Where did it go? Did you take
why
it home?
Why did you use small as an adjective?
Because I'm saying no one wants a shitload of chocolate. Everyone's trying to like, you know,
High quality chocolate.
I think there
if
needs
you measure
to be
the chocolate from the base. Right, push the ruler right into the base.
Oh, there was two extra squares in there. I didn't see.
Maybe two extra squares. What should you get for Valentine's? Flowers, nice. Also, men should get flowers.
Experiences.
Men should get flowers.
Nice. Men should get flowers, thank you very much.
Scented candles,
very nice.
Which is why we're launching today our scented candle range.
Young hot guys, scented candles. It's like the Jacob Elordi's bathwater of 2024.
Did you get Valentine's when you were a kid? That was a fun thing, was like when you're
going off my mom, which is pretty hot.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. You're a kid and you get these letters that are delivered in the post and your mom's like, what's this? And then you get it, like, you open it, you're fucking 5 years old, just like, what is this? And it's like, dear Killian, from your Valentine. I'm like, who in God's name could this
dear
possibly
Killian,
be?
The thought of you leaves me trembling. I stare out every night and I curse these distances between us. I know your touch.
Just like a clueless little kid who doesn't really understand. And you're like, who is this writing this beautiful prose to me as a child?
I got one 28 years ago.
Oh.
What age am I? 28 years ago in second class. And I came into the class in the prefab. And there was a Valentine's card on my desk and everybody was staring at me. And I was going red and I didn't know what to do. So at the time, of course, this is a bad thing. Girls are bad. Mm. Be a boy.
Girls are gay.
Mm-hmm. Cooties.
I'm ashamed of it now. I picked up the card in its envelope, a red envelope with my name on it. And I tore it up.
Oh my God.
I know that's not me. That's a little boy. God. But I still feel bad about it.
Oh my God.
And do you forgive yourself?
I'm finding hard to forgive
that
myself.
That is so intense.
I know. And later that day,
it's big feelings.
Somebody
those
said
are
to
big,
me,
big, big feelings.
It was too much. I can't be the only one getting a card.
Big feelings.
So someone else said to me, a fiver dropped out of it and I got it. And that wasn't true. But I was a bit slow taking down my homework before we left and my teacher came to help me at the end of the day, which also was quite cute. And she was writing.
You were just crying.
No, it was at the end of the day. And then she said, you got a bit of a surprise this morning. And I didn't know what to say to that. I was like, this was like, and it, this was an intrusion on my boundaries. Mm. I was like, I don't know what to say. But obviously she just thought the whole thing was adorable, whatever. Yeah. And she probably felt bad for the girl who gave me the card. Mm. But, you know, you move on. These are part of the texture of your life. And there's some,
that's a trauma.
There's shame. There's shame in there.
But there is a person out there as well who watched you, who gave you that card and watched you tear it up in front of the whole class.
But you know what? She's very Christian.
Who?
The person who gave me the card.
Why?
She is a very devout Christian.
Mm-hmm. Who did it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Those,
you bury that.
It was one
you
of those.
Didn't mention that.
I thought it was mysterious.
Preserving their dignity. They shouldn't be aired on this pod. They're one of those kind of Christians of what would Jesus do type of.
Yeah.
Kind of almost fundamentalist
and you
style.
Drove them there because they had no choice other than turn to God after that.
Shane doesn't love me, maybe Jesus will.
And one time her mom snapped at my cousin and said
name and shame.
Okay. No, I won't name and shame.
Name and shame.
I won't name and shame. This is
I love this segment.
I won't. No, because that's, you know.
There needs to be a de-influencer segment
there
to this podcast where you name and shame.
There is something really cute about, like, you know, a little boy. Little shame, like seeing the card and just, you know, going red in the face. And when you're a kid and just all these people looking at you and just being like, and just ripping it up. I remember when I caught a fish and I didn't know what to do.
What are you talking about?
I caught a fish.
You know, that reminds me. I caught a fish. What are you talking about?
No, I caught a fish and it was flopping around and everyone was looking at me and I was like, oh my God. And it was flopping around on the ground and this guy meant to come along and like,
the bashy bashy
man. He whacks it and kills it, but I didn't. He wasn't there, and the thing was flopping around on the ground. So I just like I was five, and I just walked up to the fish and started stamping on it.
Oh no!
And it didn't die. And then the guy came along, and he was some Wicklow lad, and he was like, "Hey, give me that here," and he just went. And it was
dead. We went in fourth year to Animo. Did you go to that place? It's like a.
It's the trout
farm. I think they put fish in there for you to catch.
Jump out.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Yeah,
We went there and like we couldn't stop, and you had to pay like a fiver a fish.
Yeah, yeah, you paid for the fish.
Literally jumping into your bag.
Yeah,
and we had to stop because it was caught. We were like 30 quid, and we were just like, I just want to stand here for a while. But every time we would put in a fish, and then the bashy bashy man who looks like he's been dead for years would come along, and then we'd be like, no, I'm gonna want to put him back, and he goes, no.
Yeah, it was. All you had to put on was a bit of sweet corn on the thing.
Yeah, a bit of sweet corn.
Experiment with a bean, maybe.
I like Valentine's Day, and I like the idea of kids. I'd like the idea of kids having some kind of light smattering of romance before they get into like the frigidness and the meeting. Because I watched Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and very wholesome movie. You know, in the 1970s, girls, she's praying for boobs. She's praying to have her period. Mm-hmm. She's praying to kiss a boy someday. And it's all very wholesome. And it's all very like, have you kissed anyone yet? Mm-hmm. And they're just, and when they do kiss, they're just pecks. They go into 2 minutes in heaven in the wardrobe. And she's like, mwah. And then they go back and it's very wholesome. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like there wasn't much of a jump from like, are you a frigid to like, who have you frigged? Like, within a very short span of time.
Yeah.
And when you were a frigid, it was like, okay, now I don't care about romance. I don't care about having a connection with someone. I am now a desperate scrambling rat and I need to get out of this bucket with the frigids.
Yeah.
And that does not foster good relationships with people when that is your inspiration to want to kiss a girl.
Yeah.
And so I love the idea of kids actually being like, oh, I like this person and I want to, and it not being so heavy, it not being such big feelings. And I wonder how you do that. I'm not saying we're going to come, figure it out here, but I'd love to figure out a way of just having kids understand romance before they understand,
that's true.
You know, physical acts and this idea that you have to, there's a conquest. It's the thing to tick on your box before you actually even know that you're going to like it or not, you know?
Mm.
That's just what's been on my mind.
No, that's true. That's very good. And that's why it's not, it's when your mum's writing those little things, it's nice. It's nice when you're, you know, or your dad, I don't know. But like,
I know, like, and you're still kind of a frigid because it's your mom. Do you know what I mean? It's not real. You're still
like,
a frigid.
This is almost pre-frigid, right? The idea that something will happen, but even the idea of romance. Like you watch movies as a kid and there's you know, characters that are in romance and you want them to get together as a kid or you might feel something. It's not like anything more than you see some character in a TV show. Probably when you're a kid, it's probably some sort of animal and you feel something. You don't know what it is.
Oh
my God,
Fox.
This fox in this TV show or this rabbit that's kind of like a woman that plays basketball. I feel something here. I don't know what it is, but there's something.
I want to put my hand on their fluffy tummies, you know? Whatever, you know, leave me alone.
Anyway, this Valentine's Day.
yeah,
I never got a card off my mother, but I remember when you'd make those things in primary school and you'd think you'd make like a whatever, the same card as everyone else. And you'd be like, she is not going to believe this. You'd make a card for your mother. Remember? Mm. And you're like, she is going to love this. Mm-hmm. Like you'd think like this. Yeah. And they do like it because they're so funny. It's so funny. Like the idea of a school play, it's not really for the children. It's just because it's so cute that they're up there in little outfits doing stuff.
Dressed in like a, you know. And what do we all think of this referendum? And everyone's parents are like, ah! What a fucking idiot. That kid doesn't even know what he's talking about.
They're laughing
at the kids. There's
a referendum and I don't know what I'm talking about.
There is a new referendum. What's the deal with it?
What is the deal with it? I don't know either. Yeah. I feel like you kind of absorb. I haven't been listening to my Claire,
but the family.
Usually you absorb a little bit, but I don't know. I'm pro.
He's anti-family, obviously.
I'm anti-family, as you know. The gay agenda. I want to destroy families. No families.
Just people walking around.
Don't touch each other.
No.
Bring back the 2 meter distance.
Yeah.
No. That's control. I don't know what. I actually do not know. And I usually up on these things. I did check that I was. It said I was not on the register to vote. And then I went, signed in with my GovID, which of course is another way to get your biometric data. They're coming at you every which way. Every which way. That's gas. The public services card, the best thing in the world is to prove your PPS number and you, and they didn't put the PPS number underneath your own photograph. Mm. What a stunning. That's so Irish, isn't it? I hate that kind of thing. I'm like, we do great things as well. All the things that go on without you noticing, they're all good successes. Mm-hmm. We only hear about the failures. Stop hating on ourselves. But that is what a monumental piece of shit. But your man said to me, some office recently, I told him, and I was like, you need proof of my PPS. Okay, is that the public service card? He's like, yeah. And he's like, so send a photocopy of both sides. I was like, that is completely moronic. I could just photocopy someone else's back.
I had to do that.
I could photocopy someone else's balls.
And I took a picture of it, right? And they didn't accept it because it wasn't a photocopy. Like, I took a picture of it. What is a photocopier? Mm. A big fucking camera.
There's a certain generation of people who are stuck on photocopiers as if they are still magic.
I know.
And they need to be curtailed. As I said, the retirement age will be brought down to 50 and everyone can relax. And also people can be different.
Is that the referendum?
That's the referendum, yeah.
Great, okay.
I think the referendum means you have to be, a woman must work outside the home. She's not allowed to be a homemaker. And women aren't allowed to have children and the men are in control. And also then it means you can have a throuple. You must have a throuple. I don't know, whatever. I genuinely don't know what.
What referendum? What
we have to have couples with people only in our families.
Yeah, it's sick, isn't it?
Oh, that's awful.
It's sick.
It's the old Valentine's rule. You can only get Valentine's and write from
someone that actually would appreciate this if someone could give me just a really short kind of like, what's the story with this referendum?
Sure.
Because I'm voting. I'm voting one way or the other. And maybe I should just do my own research. Is my civic duty? Yeah, civic duty.
Sometimes I think it's easy as well just to skip ahead and just see what like the people from the Ion Institute are voting.
Yes.
Just like, what are you doing? I'll probably do the same as them.
There you go.
It's like your man with the big ears. Vote, isn't it? It's like whatever they're going, you know, like where the KKK are back and they're like, oh.
But that sometimes can backfire as well. I don't know, but Micheál, Leo, you guys, Leo gal, sis, hunty, spill the tea for us, Leo. I'm going to beat the shit out of Leo Vrecker.
That's near you, isn't it? Mark my words.
Yeah, he lives down our way. Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Well, don't name and shame his location.
Name and Shane. His address is publicly available because those mad bastards wanted to protest outside his house.
That's true. They were heading there after the ride. So look, very exciting times. You know, we've got a referendum on the cards. Mm. Valentine's is in the air. Love's I think we should all kiss each other.
I've never done before. I've never done before.
Seven minutes? Is that a long time?
That's a long time.
I was never locked in a room and I feel like I've found that terrifying.
I remember the one rule that was like, look, when you're going for the meet, right, you just make sure you're not the one that stops.
Oh, right, okay.
That's being assertive as a boy. And what you end up having there is just like, literally watching a washing machine. And it's no good.
I didn't play that game getting locked in a room, but I did spend quite a few years in the closet. Am I right?
Oh.
Can you guys believe that I'm gay? Hey, is that a shock to you? Hey, it was a shock to my first wife. Let me tell you that much. Hey.
What was the age gap between girl frigid and boy frigid? You're breaking up girl frigid and boy frigid or vice versa?
That's private.
Okay.
That's private. You're not getting that much.
I think I kissed boys before I kissed girls. I think I was a boy frigid. Mm-hmm. I stopped being a boy frigid before I was a girl frigid.
Mm. Are you right?
Anyway.
Words have lost all meaning.
Yeah. Well, if you want to hear more snapper jacks like that, like that jokes. Good closet joke that Shane made, you can see him live. And I would like Shane Daniel Brown to tell me where he's going to be live.
Port Leash, Belfast, Howth, Benader. Where else am I going? Melbourne, Sydney, excuse me.
Kilkenny.
Galway, Belfast, Kilkenny, Howth, Civic, and Dreacht and Blanchardstown.
All over town. And I'll be helping them along with some of those. So you might get two hot guys for the price of one hot guy.
And then a different day, you can see another hot guy, me.
Yes.
Because I'm on tour with Litterbox, my new show. And that's going to be in Vicar Street in April 5th, the Abbey Tavern in April on April 18th, the Dreacht and Blanche April 19th, the 25th and 26th of April. I'm also in the Whale in Greystones. May 2nd, I'm in Dolan's in Limerick. May 3rd, I'm in Cypress Avenue, Cork. And then I'm back in Vicar Street on June 14th. And more dates, TBC.
I forgot to say that I'm in Vicar Street on the 8th of March as well. And can I just say as well, look, it's something that's, thanks for letting us do that. Is that enough? Are you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are going to make a separate Instagram.
Oh, this is important.
For young hot guys, yes. Because...
We are
1 million people have messaged us and tagged us that when you search young hot guys on Instagram, that you are warned that child sex abuse is illegal.
We do not get put on a list.
We agree with that. But we've also heard all the jokes about it as well at this point, and
sure.
Become tired. So we are sorry about that.
Yeah.
And
we're going to set up an Instagram and then start posting things that just... So is that all the people who listen to this podcast and, you know, have the tendency to search it on Instagram don't get put on a list. And then all our listeners end up getting, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and we discussed it. And we don't think you can call it. I have the, many years ago, I had the foresight to take the Instagram handle Young Hot Guys.
Very clever.
But I think that we can't use that. Isn't that it?
I reckon so.
We're going to call it something else.
Maybe YHG podcast.
YHG podcast.
Yeah, or YHG pod.
Or YHG pod.
We'll find something.
Did you make it yesterday?
No, it didn't let me because actually that's been taken. So we'll have to change it to something
Let's
else.
Let's have a chat offline.
We'll have a chat offline.
No, but I think let's tease it out in front of them.
We've done some, we'll call it YHG pod. I think that's the best.
Yeah, that's better.
But we can share links to like Tony's penis measure thing, stuff like that.
We can also share links to a show that is happening in May, which is called the Bureau de Change Song Competition.
Bureau de Change Song
Contest. We will probably start talking about it in a while, but this is, I just want to say, it's the most fun comedy event
so much
of the year. It is incredible. Basically, we get loads of different comedians, incredible comedians. They come together and they all have to represent a country and then they do Eurovision style song, like 3 to 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. You get to see at least like 12 comedians. They've got incredible hosts. Everyone really gives it their all. Like everyone really wants to win. Former winners include Fionnuala J, second place, Tony Cantwell, third place, myself. We've got Michael Fry, you've got Peter McGann. The first time I was, remember when I'm a German cowboy, that
joined
came third
fourth,
place.
I think.
No.
I don't really do well in it or place, but I do have a good time doing
it.
He's very good. Shane goes with the ballads, and they're always the best.
He's a great voice on them. Anyway. It's in Vicar Street in May. I don't know the exact date, but you should get tickets.
May 10th.
It'll sell out.
Fun. And we had that meeting yesterday on the Zoom.
Fun.
And I was like, you think it's going to be like, we had jokes and stuff on the Zoom about it. And everybody was sitting there. And it was like, okay, good crack or whatever. But also, there's a tension in that. The first time it was good crack, it was like, we had the meetings and it was like, oh, I can't wait. And now it's like, cool, thank you very much. Cool, thanks, Aoife, sounds good, thank you. And everyone is
for essentially a big silly dress-up competition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're very camp, it's very great, and it's amazing. And then also, final thing, if you want to support this podcast, which you should because it's great fun and you've listened this long, so you must enjoy it, there is also a bonus episode that we do every week and it's better than the actual one you're listening to right now.
A lot of people have said it's better.
People who listen to it say they prefer the bonus one. So if you want an even funnier version of this...
We get more personal. We go off-piste. Yeah. We read your messages as well and we respond.
Yeah. You should. You can sign up on Headstuff Plus. So just go to Headstuff Plus and you can listen to that. More of this! After listening to an hour of us. Are you mental? No, you should though. It'd
That's
be good.
Crazy.
Can I just say as well, I love that people watch the podcast on YouTube. Mm. Like my cousin and all was like, she's like, we watch on YouTube. It's our YouTube hit, our YouTube fist.
It's our YouTube
fix.
Fist.
It's our YouTube fist.
Fix. This is what we're talking about.
Love
turkeys. I swear to God, your brain turns
our
to
YouTube
mush.
YouTube fist.
Yeah, but you can watch it. You can see.
I
today,
love to watch it.
I am wearing a yellow t-shirt. Oh, you can hear. We have reference things that are going on, and the people who watch the YouTube, they know better. They go, oh, I know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about
people know what that means, that it's a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can if you see. Watch a video, you can see.
You can see.
what we are, as we're saying it.
Or even if you don't want to watch and listening is your preferred, go over there, just give us a subscribe anyway, get the boost of numbers. Yeah. But look, thanks very much for listening and watching YouTube. We love you. Goodbye.
They're attractive.
I am very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the moon!
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.